Right, children of God. Today we take a brief look at three children from the Bible who grew up to become giants of our history. One is the greatest of them all. We think of those who before their birth were chosen by God to become great in the history of Israel and all the world. Bible verses about children are a wonderful reminder that our children and our grandchildren are such a blessing. Throughout the Bible, it mentions God's love for children. It tells us how a child's life is so precious and fragile. It tells us how to protect and defend our children as they grow. Psalm 127 tells us, children are a heritage from the Lord, and their children are a reward from Him. Let us start by looking at two great men from the Old Testament. We begin with Moses. He was not born into a normal situation in Egypt. For the first 3 months, he was hidden by his mother to save him from being put to death. This was according to Pharaoh's instructions that all male Hebrew children were to be killed. He was then put into a basket and hidden in the reed beds by the Nile. Did his mother have any idea what would happen next? I doubt it, but God did. God sent Pharaoh's daughter to find the infant and begin his plan for Moses and Israel. You see, God had already chosen Moses to lead his people to freedom from the oppression of slavery in Egypt. When we read the book of Exodus, we find the many times God helped Moses and his people. We remember the times that Moses would talk with God. Sometimes Moses was very grumpy and complained about what was happening. A good example is from Exodus chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, you have brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." God, of course, replied, and in chapter 6, he tells Moses exactly what he has planned. We remember the plagues, the first Passover, the parting of the Red Sea, amongst other things, that set the Hebrews on their way to freedom out of Egypt. The journey in the wilderness was anything but easy, but God was with them all the time, even though sometimes the people forgot this. One of the greatest things God gave Moses was the Ten Commandments. In a spectacular way on Mount Sinai, with thunder and lightning and smoke and earthquake. Moses' story is truly a remarkable tale of how God will use us to accomplish his plans. However, Moses didn't get to the Promised Land because of how the people were during the wanderings. He died on Mount Nebo, aged 120. I'm not sure what I'll get around 120, but we'll have to wait and see. And that was within sight of the Promised Land. Now we take a quick look at David. He was born in the small town of Bethlehem and was from the tribe of Judah. Did you know he was the great-grandson of Ruth and Boaz? I recommend reading the book of Ruth for the story of one of the great women of the Bible. David was the youngest son of Jesse and would have been the least because of the Hebrew culture at the time. He was a shepherd looking after his family's flocks. Not the greatest job at that time, but God had chosen David to become king of Israel, and the training needed to be a shepherd would hold him in good stead. He had to be strong to ward off predatory animals like wolves and bears. He would also be very good with a slingshot to drive away the predators. He needed to be fast when chasing the sheep to ensure they did not get lost. And he needed to be smart to know where the best feed and water would be at any time of the year. The one thing about David was that he always trusted God, even when he got things wrong, which he did on several occasions. He would always turn to God for forgiveness and a clear understanding of what he needed to do. David's trust in God was the reason he defeated Goliath, the Philistine giant. The story starts with David delivering food to his elder brothers as instructed by his father, and ends with David defeating Goliath. 1 Samuel 17 verse 50 says, "So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand." David's victory over Goliath also meant that Philistines were defeated, and David became a high-ranking official in King Saul's army and the people's champion. We know of the jealousy Saul had towards David and the many attempts by Saul to kill David. But because of David's trust in God and God's plan for David, all his plotting failed and David became king of Israel. As mentioned earlier, David got many things right, but also many things wrong. But his love and trust of God remained. However, his desire to build a temple to the Lord was not allowed by God. 1 Chronicles 22 verse 8 says why. "But this word of the Lord came to me, 'You have shed much blood and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name.'" Thanks to the Bible and historical records, we in the 21st century know how important these two children would become, but I am sure both sets of parents would have not have known or guessed their future greatness. This leads us to the greatest child in history, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. The birth of Jesus is something we think a lot about. Bethlehem, the city of David, and of David's line, as promised. Mary and Joseph knew he was from God because they were both visited by angels. Mary knew he was from God because she trusted God and she was a virgin. Joseph, an honourable man, needed to be convinced, but he trusted God. Have you ever wondered how easy or difficult this knowledge was for the two of them to process? Surely the agony of crucifixion was not something they were aware of as Jesus was growing up. We know the life and times of Jesus in the Gospels and the books of the New Testament and are still amazed at what he did for us. It is sometimes seen in society that children are treated as if they are not important and their thoughts and views are not relevant to us as grown-ups. But what did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 18 verses 2 to 5 says, "He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, 'I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me.'" Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 to 14 says, "Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those that brought them. Jesus said, 'Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. This can also be found in Mark chapter 10 and Luke chapter 18. Matthew chapter 21 verses 15 to 16 says, "But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. 'Do you hear what these children are saying?' they asked. 'Yes,' Jesus replied. 'Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise'?'" This is found in Psalm chapter 8. Just as an aside, did you know that according to statistics, some 105 billion babies have been born since Jesus? What do you think of that? 105 billion. Crumbs. And a thought for us all, I often wonder what my parents expected of me, what the future held when I was born at number 12 Prince Wales Drive, not more than 100 yards from this church. What about your parents? Did they know the route your life would take, leading you to be here today? Of course they didn't, but God did. God knows his plans for us all, as he did for his son, as did his son. Jesus had to go through all he did to bring us back to God. Moses and David did not fulfill their greatest wish, but Christ Jesus fulfilled everything that his Father had planned for him. The truth is, we are all God's children, even when you're 68, like me. And the word in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." This is as relevant today as when it was written thousands of years ago. Going back to the earlier point of God knowing you would be here today, he also knows where you're going to be tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after that. He will never stop loving and caring for you, because you are the children of God. Amen.